Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
At some point, if you're sincerely going to pursue spiritual practice, you must find the courage to stop the beating for long enough to find out that what you are is goodness, from there is nothing wrong with you. The practice of no self-hate produces a gradual shift in perspective that we're not at fault for possessing an ego or getting identified with it. Ego identification is simply an opportunity to recognize that the real difficulty is always egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. In fact, suffering always presents the choice to end suffering, the choice to practice compassion no matter what for this human being caught in suffering. The practice of compassion is the redirect of attention through which we encounter ourselves as goodness. The spiritual attitude to suffering is encapsulated in this teaching from the guide. If you see everything in your life as here to assist you to move from suffering to the happiness that is your authentic nature, your life will be transformed immediately. If we make a commitment to practice staying in love and looking for the gift of love, we must also be prepared for Screwtape to escalate his attacks. The good news on this front is that whatever ego's tactics are, they always take the form of a conversation, monologue, mind, movie, and conditioned mind. When we become aware of what the voices are saying, our practice is to turn to life, to the mentor, to the practice tools, as a way to foil Screwtape's strategy in the moment. The point is to keep him feeling that he has something other than the enemy and courage the enemy supplies to fall back on, so that what was intended to be a total commitment to duty becomes honeycombed all through with little unconscious reservations. So this week, let us train to receive everything in our life as support to awaken to the truth of true nature. It is our nature, after all. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Tommy.
Good morning, Tommy.
How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you and to everyone who celebrates it.
That's right. So, and shouldn't every day be Thanksgiving? So,
I think it is, as a matter of fact. Yes.
I think it is, too. So I just wanted to thank you guys for this practice. This year has just been so enlightening is the word, but not like I'm enlightened, but I'm just really recognizing and being aware of how often I get identified and not. Now I've kind of dropped the story of trying to figure out what identification it is. It's either
losing interest in it.
Well, it's just one story after another, you know what I mean? It's just,
exactly.
So yeah. It's kind of like I was thinking back to the first time I read There's Nothing Wrong With You and trying to, you know, you ask for our identities. And I was like wife, mom, you know, not getting that part at all. And then you reread it and you get a little bit more. But I just have really... just kind of like, oh, you're identified right now. And then when I was in Squim with you guys, someone was struggling with meditating and they asked if they should just keep going back to the number one. And you said, now, you just keep coming back to now. And it stuck with me. And so when I see myself get frustrated or I see myself get, insulted or diminished or whatever. I just come back to life. Is that really what's happening right now, or is that a big story in your head? So, anyway.
Right. And if I'm here asking that question, I've certainly not identified with that story, because if I were, I would be in the story and not watching the story. So, yeah.
And that's what's miraculous. Yeah, it's huge.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's miraculous. But it's often, you know, and I wish I was that good all the time, and I'm not, but, I can catch myself faster, and I'm amazed, like, wow, you really went right into that, didn't you? Like,
Tommy, what I hear in the way you're talking about this is and he's going to have to help me again. There's a friendly witnessing. Right, you're in this relationship with yourself, with her, right? Oh, gosh, you fell for that one, didn't you? Oh, well, here we are. Yeah. It, so, you know, you're like on a muddy path with a pal, right? And
yeah.
And one of you keeps slipping, and the other one is right there to go, ah, gotcha. Yeah, here we go.
I
get
love
your footing.
That.
Here we go.
Yeah, I love that. I'm on a muddy path with a pal. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Because I think I finally have started to like myself.
Oh, yes.
And like,
well,
like,
and I would
this,
say...
all this time, you know?
So, I would say, Tommy, I would say... you're starting to like yourself because you're starting to recognize who you are. You're starting to be able actually to see who you truly are.
Right.
And
why would we not like ourselves? You know, and why
right.
would we
it,
not like that?
And we'll go beyond that. It's not just likable, it's lovable.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, and when you're not, it's like, whose story is that about that person that,
is right.
whose projection about what that person should be
that's
are
right.
you listening to? So
that's right. And then as we started out, you just kind of lose interest. You know, somebody's got something negative going on. Okay, yeah, whatever. You know, that's such an old story. I've heard that so many times. I got to get here. I got to get to now. I got to get
yeah,
to now.
Yeah, there's one more thing you said a long time. I don't know if I read it or I heard it in an old archive. But you said once you've thrown the garbage out and you need to take it outside, you don't have to reopen the bag and look at every piece.
Yes, yes. Now, I have to, I'm a great one for attribution, right? And that's actually Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharshi who
okay.
said that. But it's a great line, and it says it all, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah.
It's been identified as trash.
All those identities are all in the trash bag now. I can just like, okay.
Let it you know. Go. Let it become compost. Let it turn into have another incarnation. Yeah, yeah. That's wonderful. Well,
so
thank
anyway,
you, Tommy.
Thank you.
Right,
so
happy.
Thanks, Tommy. It's affectionate witnessing, Jerry.
Affectionate witnessing. Gosh, you know that. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to write it in big letters. I'm going to paint it on the wall in front of me. So, that anyway,
well,
she had it, didn't she?
She did. And what I heard in that is progression of practice. I mean, it's a fascinating process for me because when we start out, we don't even know it's trash, right? And so we have to identify it as trash.
Yeah.
And
yes.
then as we practice, it becomes more and more gross, right? It, not gross in the trash sense of the word, but in the abstract.
Obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not at the level of the sticky, I'm at the level of the map. And so all I have to do is get off the process map, right? But I need to know what the process map is at the level of the sticky before I can lose interest or know that I'm on the map. And then I can have an intimacy with the white space because I have done the work.
Yes, and that's why that quote that from this particular assignment about the, you know, that practice doesn't really start until the beatings stop, and that's not a negative. That's a fact of life, and if we take it as an encouragement, then we can know that there is so much waiting for us as soon as we're ready to. Say no more beatings. This is a good human. No more beatings. We're not doing that.
Yeah. All right. Here's the next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hi, this is Nancy from Bellingham.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi. Yes. You know, this whole assignment kind of, that dark night of the soul, it kind of put me on an exploration of how many dark night of the souls have I encountered in my lifetime, and there have been quite a few when I think back on it, and how it was like it was like I could slip back into exactly the same messages that I received back then that I'm receiving now, basically, if I let myself, you know, but I didn't because I was just, it was an exploration. I was just kind of witnessing what was going on. And what I saw was how there was this huge transformation. You know, it was like the more grittier the detail, the more horrible the situation, the more I learned, and the more I was able to transform into how I am today, which is, I feel I'm able to, you know, kind of get over these things, go get through these things much quicker now than I was way back then. Sometimes it took years.
So if I'm following, Nancy, the assignment prompted a reflection on those countless dark nights of the soul that you've encountered in the course of your practice.
Yes.
And that it's in the facing of it that the particulars are faced, right? Because if you turn and look at it, you have to go through it in order to get to the other side of it, which involves facing something you wouldn't voluntarily want to face, but are now required to face to transcend. And the particular, facing the particulars is what leads to the transformation. And there's a sense of the messages that you have to face are no different in every encounter. And yet,
yes,
facing them produces the transformation. And what drops in for me is that beautiful picture on the night of the Buddha's transformation, right, where he sits down in meditation and Mara throws the arrows at him. And the enlightenment is he touches the earth, right? Because what Mara does is never different. But what we grow in is our ability to know who we are in the face of the destruction and to witness that, which is what the symbol of the hand on the earth is.
Yes. Wow,
so
that's
beautiful. Recognition,
mm-hmm,
that the messages don't change because they're going to come at us. But my ability to go through that with a deeper and deeper sense of what is doing that. That isn't, you know, that seems to be the gift in dark nights, not the transformation of the content, but the transformation of the self.
Yes, that is the gift, because a lot of this happened before practice, or a lot of my dark nights of the soul happened before practice, and it took years to get over. And, you know, as I work with it through practice, it's just an amazing difference and how I process and getting through what it is that I need to get through, even though it does come back from time to time. But still, I know that I'm, you know, I am a different person having gone through what I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's my favorite, you know, we don't measure progress in practice, right? That's not what we do, because
right,
we're always here in the moment. But your experience of being transformed is measurable in, it's frequency, intensity, and recovery. You're not as frequently identified. The intensity might be the same or less, but the recovery is more easy, right? It's more,
yes,
available to recover. Yeah.
Yes, the tools are there to help me with that recovery. And that's what I am so grateful for today. It's like this is truly a day of thanksgiving for the practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Nancy, if you would mute yourself or call back in, I can.
Yes, will do.
Do that.
It's such an important point that in both of these conversations, that the ego doesn't change. We do.
Yeah. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Greta.
Good morning, Greta.
I am here being so grateful for all of it. Yes, all of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's something we've been talking about this year, that we, whatever it is, we can be with the affection, be witnessing it in affection, having the affectionate witness be with us as we look at whatever it is, whatever's going on. And also just that it doesn't serve us for everything to just go great. You know, we really, as much as we would like that.
Yeah, as much as we think we would like that, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Ice cream for breakfast. Yep, you bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet, as we say, when we turn our attention, it's so magical. It's so wonderful. Life has this way of just showering us with all of these gifts. And if we look at them, they're all gifts, even though some look one way and some look another way.
Mm-hmm. And Greta, when you said that, what I saw is we often, it's just that we don't recognize them. Right. So mm-hmm. it doesn't look like a gift, but that's because I don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, if I'm not careful and I'm identified with ego, I'm going to assume I know what everything is. Right. And so if when we receive these things that don't feel like gifts, to just have the humility to realize it's because I don't know what it is yet. I haven't unwrapped it. It hasn't become a part of my life, and so I don't see the contribution that it's making.
Exactly. So if I look at content, you know, what's going on in my life now, there's a way in which it would all be horrible, but actually it's turned out, you know, people would say, well, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, where are you going to live? Well, I don't know. Well, what's happening next? Well, I don't know.
Yeah. And I never have. And yet I've gotten here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yet if I put my attention on life and love, as we've been talking all year, it transforms almost immediately into gratitude.
And that's the real transformation, isn't it? That what we're talking about is that at the deepest level, we know we're loved, and as soon as we know that, then we know that what loves us, what we are, is never going to do anything hurtful or harmful to us. It's just it's a loving parent with an adored child. You know, to the child, and not having ice cream for breakfast seems like you're being mean to me. and yet, we know that all of it comes from love.
Yes. And what I realized this morning, the way we've been talking about it this week, but what I realize is transforming for me is wanting to stay in the process of love so I can turn that outward. So that's what I'm projecting outward, not conditioned mind, but to be actually able to, you know, go share a meal with my neighbors and be in the process of love instead of frustration at how they talk to each other or whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and it's, you know, the love is there for you to be in, and that as you stay in that love, that's what's going to be there for you and everyone and everything else.
Yeah. It's such a kindness, because we were talking about, you know, a few callers ago, we're talking about how we get identified and we get stuck in those habit patterns, and we can see them coming up now, and we have this other place to go that is so much richer and valuable for us and the world, right? What do I want? I want people to be happy. I want them to be well fed. I want them to have housing. All those things, you know, we say them lightly, but it's really coming from this deep caring that we know we're cared for.
Yes, and we want everyone to have that experience. God, that's beautiful, Greta. Thank you for
that. I'm feeling the love for Sangha and for this practice and for the letter that you wrote. I would just went right there with you, like, oh God, I love this practice.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gasto.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Greta. Gosh, Sherry, I loved every sentence of that conversation, but I was just gobsmacked and staying with that line where we don't know it's a gift because we don't know what it is yet. Mm-hmm. And encapsulated in that is the whole process of spiritual practice, because I don't know life yet. I don't know the animating principle yet. And so how do I get in touch with that? Isn't that all of my spiritual practice? Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Ken in California.
Hey, Ken.
Good morning, Ashwini. So much gratitude going on today. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a happy gratitude day.
Yes, it is. It's really great. So one thing I was kind of looking at this morning was I remember the first time I really kind of had that experience of the dark night of the soul in my interpretation of it, or the way I felt, was when I did a retreat. This is years ago at the monastery. And, it was going from being busy life into a silent environment. And I remember that I was about day three on a longer retreat. And in my head, it was like screaming at me, you got to get out of here. You got to get out of here. You got to leave. And I pictured myself going and getting in my car and driving out of the monastery. And anyway, I just said, well, you leave, I'm staying here. And I just felt like this dark part of me just like left, and it just opened up. And, it was, I'd never had any experience like that. And there were other things, when you have that, you see things so more alive and clearly when you're in that kind of a silent environment, and that's where I first learned to appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I was kind of looking at was when in my daily life, and I have demands on me and people, commitments to fulfill and all that, it's a little harder to see when the conditioning, like, takes me over. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. It's the hardest place in interaction and the temporal. It's what Screwtape is aiming for. Get busy so you forget. Exactly. There's a spiritual dimension into your life. Yeah.
So, and then today, where the only person who's making demands on me today is me. And so I'm going to give myself a break today. A day off from ego.
Yeah, that's more like it, right? Because that is the lesson of the experience you had at the monastery, that it's the voice is what's yelling at you, asking you to get out of here. And if I believe that that's me, then I'm going to get in the car and go. But in that silence and stillness of the retreat and of that monastic environment, it's really clear that's not me. And so I can face it and go through that zone of annihilation where I choose to look at it and then I choose not to go with it and then I'm free. And so if we look at that as a process application, how do we incorporate that in our daily busy lives? And we sit on the cushion, or we do the practice, or surround ourselves by sangha so that the silence within grows. And so when you have an opportunity to give yourself a break, that's what you do, because there's a recognition that that's what that human being needs. a holiday from ego.
Yeah, and you know, just staying close to the practice, you know, and just continuing to do the practice helps me see that and have more moments that I am enjoying and being with life and feeling fully alive. You know, and that I'm so grateful for the practice and how it showed me how to do that and doing those practices. And today is just, you know, kind of a day to do it more without having the other outside commitments to pull on me.
Yes.
The only one that's going to pull on me now is ego.
That's right. And so that commitment to the practice allows us to apply a process of experience and insight that happens somewhere whenever we have that opportunity. And that transforms us to carry it through in other places where it's more difficult to do.
Yeah, I'm going free range today. It's just like, you know, when conditioning is there, I feel like the process maps my jail, you know. I'm going to be outside the process map today. That's the goal.
Yes, yes. And it'll go as it goes, right? And there are no standards and no reviews.
Well, thank you again so much, and I hope everybody has a fabulous day today.
Yes, thank you, Ken. Happy free ranging.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And Jerry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, this is April in North Dakota.
Hey, April.
Well, I have something kind of exciting to report back. I started an exercise program not out of self-hate, but because I wanted to. Yeah, I wanted to. And since this has been a great source of suffering, I have been, the focus has been watching what happens. And I've noticed what happens is there's a ton of resistance to work out. And then there's resistance while I work out. And then afterwards, I don't get any pat on the back. And it's about, oh, an hour later, I notice that the ego voices, I'm less susceptible to them. And I'm less of a people pleaser because I feel like I did something nice for myself. But it was such an eye-opener because I thought, well, no wonder this has been such a cycle of suffering, and no wonder I've failed at it so many times because there's, I mean, I get more of a dopamine kick from buying something on Amazon, you know, with it.
But we're not doing that.
Yeah.
We're not doing right?
I was so surprised to find out that that was the system that was going on. It just floored me. And now I'm seeing that pattern on other things.
Yes, exactly. So, yes. And good for you. The only thing now that is going to happen, I would project, is that you're going to be with yourself. Now that you know everything that's going on, you're going to be with yourself as you get ready to do your exercise program, as you do it. As you finish it, you'll get the pat on the back, which you got all the way through because you've got, you know, cheerleader there going, yes, go, April. Yes.
Yes.
Go. That's great. Look at that. Yeah. And then as you come out of it, then it just, as you say, it just carries into the day because now you're in a relationship with somebody who likes you, who loves you, who supports you, who wants to be with you.
Yeah, isn't that the most funny thing? Well, no wonder it's been hard to do all these years.
Yeah, no wonder. And great compassion for the person, right? So sincere, so trying so hard, being talked out of it and then called a failure and beaten up over it. And and then we get, boy, this is a dark night of the soul description, isn't it? We get to the other side of it.
It's every day.
For what it is. Yeah, we see it for what it is and just go, oh, thank God. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And so now it's kind of like, okay, this is how it goes. So I make a little recording that I play for myself I put on my yoga pants and I just say, my commitment has just been to put on my yoga pants every day and say, I enjoy taking care of this human. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I've had so much resistance just to that, that I've had to make it my two commitments. I mean, I'm on my second commitment quarter, because that, just doing that alone has been a huge resistance. And it keeps saying, oh, well, it quit. And I say, well, no, obviously this is something you don't want me to do, so I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah, and the getting that all of that resistance is to keep you from being good to yourself, from being kind and taking care of yourself. From your, it's resisting you being in well-being. It can't get clearer than that. Why would I listen to that voice in my head that I have proved to myself, I've seen with such clarity, hates me, is rooting for my failure, is doing everything it can to cause me to suffer? No, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. We are not talking anymore. Now, will we?
Yes,
yes, of course.
Yeah. I have a whole process map of what it says about my exercising in my exercise room. And as soon as it says something, I just look up at one of the sticky notes and just laugh. Well, there it is. Yeah.
There it is. Yep. Good. Well, thank you, April.
Well,
Very inspiring.
Yes. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Go
ahead.
Bye.
Thanks, April. And that brings us to the end of this show, Sherry. And we'll talk to more callers tomorrow.
Yes. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy and happy gratitude day.